Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We got to talk about Bugfest coming up here next week, and that's going to come up a little bit later on in the show. However, we're going to kick off today's two-hour radio show spectacular with someone I'm very fortunate to call an acquaintance in the dive industry, and I'm talking about Jean-Michel Cousteau, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Jean-Michel, how are you?
I am very, very well, particularly since I just spent 2 weeks diving in the Ritz, Sea of Cortez, and it was wonderful.
Very nice. Well, let's just start off with that then. The Sea of Cortez, were you doing some whale shark stuff? I know that's a whale shark hotspot. Am I right?
No. Because it's not the right time, but we were there to do some very special close-up footage and also cutaways for a show that we are putting together, which is called Odyssey, which will be presented at the Film Festival in Cannes in May.
Oh.
And it's a 90-minute show on showing the public, thanks to some of the equipment that we have, focusing in slow motion on creatures' behavior that people have never seen before.
Wow, that sounds awesome. So this is going to come out of the Cannes Film Festival and then maybe show up at the theaters in the U.S. eventually, or do we know?
Well, I think it's going to be, I hope,
yes,
shown all over the world
well,
in
there
theaters.
You go.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
In 3D.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
All right. So you had that and a big team of people in the Sea of Cortez doing that. Now, were you only doing this small little macro type stuff, or was this all type of critters across the board, big and small?
Big and small, but mostly the small ones are the ones that most people have never seen.
Yeah, got it. All right, yeah. Very cool. So you've been pretty busy. You're always traveling the world doing crazy things like that, whether it's filming TV shows or hobnobbing with political figures around the world. And you
never stops.
It never stops. He does so much great work. And if you've ever had the opportunity to see Jean-Michel speak, you need to go out of your way and make it happen, because he is quite the orator. And definitely...
You've very kind.
Well,
I
just speak the truth, Jean-Michel. It's very nice to, like I said, call you an acquaintance in the dive industry, and the fact that he actually waves hi to me and acknowledges me after all these years is quite a feat, or he just has a short-term memory. Maybe that's it. Your old age is catching up with you, Jean-Michel, you think?
Yes.
Well,
I hope so.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other things. You know, one of the things for the U.S., and this may not be news to you, but we can actually go down to Cuba now and see some of their reefs. Have you been down to that part of the world or know much about what's going on in Cuba as far as from diving?
Well, you just said it may not be something new to you, and it's not because... I'm a diver, but it's because I'm French.
Yeah, well, okay.
And being French, I've been going to Cuba for all the last 50 years of my life, and there are places which have been protected, particularly the Southwest, which is absolutely gorgeous, impeccably preserved, and people who go there have a wonderful time. And I, you know, will go one step further. You can go and swim with... crocodiles.
Crocodiles? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, so you can do that in Cuba. And They let you do that because they don't care if you live or die, I guess, is what how it works. Is that what it is or what?
Well, it depends who you're bringing with you.
True. If there's somebody who's been upsetting you or a dive buddy you'd prefer to upgrade with someone else, this is maybe the place to go. I don't know. So you've done that. You've dove with crocodiles in Cuba.
Oh, yeah, in Cuba, in Australia, in with alligators in the Amazon, and on and on.
Interesting. Well, you know, I've done the alligator thing here in Florida. It's hard to avoid if you're diving the Florida Springs, but crocodiles would be a whole new level. I don't know. I might have to add that one to the
list. That's different. Whether alligators or crocodiles, when they are underwater,
Yeah.
They don't open their mouth because they would drown.
Ah.
So they're not going to attack you, and that's why when you're underwater as a diver, you're totally protected.
Ah, well, that's good to know. I feel much better now about this prospect. Okay, so as long as you're not on the surface or stay underwater, you're okay with the crocodiles. They'll just think you're another croc, and there isn't really much they can do with you other than whack you with their tail if you get too close, I guess, right?
No, they don't do that. They
don't even
check you and they leave.
Yeah.
They're not interested.
Okay.
And, but on the surface or on land, that's a different story.
Yes, exactly. And we're divers. We'd prefer to be in the water anyway, so we'll just stay
there.
You're
right.
Yes.
There are no mosquitoes underwater.
They're true. See, you're giving us more reasons to go diving. I love it. That's what you can expect from Jean-Michel Cousteau. By the way, oceanfutures.org is the website to go to and be a part of the Ocean Futures Society that Jean-Michel helps manage and educates folks around the world. And I got to ask you a little bit about some environmental things, because that's really your focus of saving the planet. And you have so much stuff up there on the website that we can't get into on the air, but people definitely need to go to the website and educate themselves accordingly. But I got to ask you, Jean-Michel, what about this plastic cleanup contraption thing that I keep seeing about on the web? Is this a solution to those big plastic islands that I know you were, that was one of your big things you were talking about a lot a couple years ago as far as how to get rid of all this plastic or figure out a way to get it under control or what?
No, you know, we need to stop having the monkey reflex of disposing things, which in fact we're throwing money away. Mm. And we need to capture all that stuff before it goes into the ocean.
Right.
That means new industries. That means millions and millions of jobs. We need to do the same thing with what we don't see, whether it is chemicals and heavy metals. And that's going to create resources we can recycle and reuse.
Yeah.
And we need to do that with the water, by the way. And that will protect the ocean, our life support system, which we all depend upon. And let's not forget that every other breath of air you take is coming from the ocean.
Yeah.
So the quality of the ocean is critical. And we need to stop the ocean as a garbage can and a universal sewer. In the meantime, we are people who are harvesting, picking things that are in the middle of the ocean, particularly on islands, particularly on coral reefs.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to continue doing it. But at some point, hopefully, we'll be able to stop because we're going to control it on land.
True. Yeah, we got to keep it from getting into the ocean in the first place, for sure.
That's right. That's right.
Well, what do you think about this big contraption this young kid has come up with that he wants to set out in the middle of the ocean to trap all this stuff that's already out there? Do you have any thoughts on that one way or another, or have you seen it?
No, I think, you know, everybody has very good ideas, and if he has a way of decreasing the amount of trash that we have left drift out there, let's not forget that a lot of it decompose. It goes down the food chain. It's accumulating at the foundations of all life in the ocean, which is plankton, whether it's the zooplankton or the phytoplankton. And it accumulates, all these chemicals accumulate in the food chain all the way up to the fish we catch and put in our plates.
Yes.
So it's one water system, and we need to protect it.
Absolutely. And Jean-Michel Cousteau's Ocean Future Society does a lot to tell you what you can do as an individual to help, you know, help this process along a little bit, whether it's just, you know, lowering your carbon footprint to recycling and all kinds of crazy things. And then you work in all this kind of good diving stuff, too. I guess that's the ultimate goal, to keep the oceans clean so we have neat things to look at underwater, right?
Education, education, education. And the good news is there are more and more people who want to make a difference. And we as divers in the past, you know, we were just going diving, but now we have a mission. It's not just diving, it's what can I do to make a difference so my great-great-grandchildren will be able to enjoy the ocean as much as I have. And that's the goal.
Absolutely. Jean-Michel Cousteau is our guest from the Ocean Futures Society. And we got more with him next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Attention divers, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device any Beyond Boundaries diver needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/scuba to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This is better than porn. It's like porn and Shark Week combined.
He's got no legs to kick it with, and he's got no arms to swim with. But nonetheless, he is a scuba diver man, and he's doing the best he can.
Scuba diver man, doing the best he can.
Scuba diver man,
scuba diver man,
scuba diver man,
scuba diver man,
scuba diver man.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
Yes, well, that's just what I do here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master.
Take it, Scooby-Doo.
And the scuba diver man really is not me, not even close. It is Jean-Michel Cousteau. He is our guest right now from the Ocean Futures Society. OceanFutures.org, by the way, is a website to go to. And, you know, they're based out of Santa Barbara, California, and that's where you are right now, right, Jean-Michel?
I just happen to be here.
Yeah, in Santa Barbara, beautiful place of the country. I mean, it's such an amazing beach area, and just the whole city is very, very cool. But I know you guys had your own little oil spill here, I don't know, a couple months ago, and definitely made some news. And I know you guys have been following that process, how that's coming along as well. Am I right?
Yes, it was during the month of May, and I'm very, very sorry. And for me, it was unbelievably frustrating because the company that is responsible for the pipes or the transportation of the oil had not done what they were supposed to do, and as a result, it broke up, and a lot of oil was released. Many dolphins died. Hundreds and hundreds of birds died, many fish, sea lions, and so on. And all of that, we don't know the end of it at the moment. But, you know, we need to stop doing this. This, for me, was the fourth time that I experienced these kind of catastrophes. I was in the Gulf of Mexico. We went filming immediately after the catastrophe. I was here in Santa Barbara in 1969, when a huge, huge catastrophe took place. I was up in Alaska when the Exxon Valdez went aground, and I did a one-hour television special. We need to stop that.
Yeah.
And there are other ways to collect energy, to protect the way you collect energy, to literally renew the energy that nature is providing us for free, and it's happening more and more and more, you know. So we need to communicate with our decision makers, sit down with our decision makers, whether it's government or industries, and provide them with ways to switch slowly, so I understand, from an economical point of view, so they will stay in business. Otherwise, they will be out of business like many others.
Yes.
So there's solutions, and we want to help.
Yeah. So we need to get away from this fossil fuel thing, or do you think there's a way to do these oil rigs in some more responsible way? I don't know if there really isn't. Is there, or what do you think?
Well, there's a lot more ways of doing it the right way.
Yeah.
And there are people who are doing it the right way, and we need to focus on what those people are doing, but there is less and less need, although it's not over yet, to get the oil, which has taken millions of years to generate. Let's not forget that oil is created by phytoplankton, tiny little algae. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there.
There you go. It's because of the ocean. It's their habitat there. If we don't have them, we don't have any oil, I guess.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
it has taken much longer than we have existed, obviously, on the planet, and we are taking more than nature can replace. So at some point, it will be exhausted. So we better find a better way before that.
Yeah, and what about as far as the cleanup from the oil spill there in Santa Barbara? Are you seeing positive signs, or is it still pretty visible, or what?
No, I think now it looks a lot better, but it doesn't mean it's over, because some of it reached the ocean floor and affects the reproduction of many creatures. But there are scientists who are working on it, and we're getting reports, and hopefully, because it was not a gigantic flow of oil, that it's mostly very regional.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen some gray whales with mother gray whales with their baby swimming into it. There are people who took some pictures, and it's pretty scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. What about some other things in the media lately? I mean, you do a lot of documentaries and film work that obviously are meant to change people's perception of the ocean environment and marine life and that kind of thing. What do you think of things like Shark Week on Discovery Channel that just finished up? I mean, we've been talking about this a lot for the last few weeks. Do you think that's a good thing or bad thing for the U.S. Or what? What is your thought?
I think it's abusing the lack of knowledge of the public. I have seen many stories and images which are an insult to us. And that has to change. It doesn't mean 100%
right
of the shows, but a lot of it.
There's still too...
Turn it off.
Too much sensationalism.
We are on our website now putting a few little stories about sharks. You know, people have to understand, First of all, there are over 500 species of sharks.
Right.
The small adults, small sharks adults are a few inches long. The biggest fish on the planet ever is a shark. It's the whale shark. They have no teeth, so Hollywood hasn't found a way to spend $70 million on a fish that is going to gum you to death.
That's true.
You know, and sharks play a critical, critical role in the ocean. They are cleaning up the mess. They're keeping the ocean healthy. It's the environment which we depend upon. Unfortunately, there are amongst over 500 species, maybe 5 to 7 species that have caused accidents. The good news is that when they bite you, they let you go because they don't like it. We don't taste good. Yeah. We're not their food. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there are some people, who, and I'm sorry for them, who have died bleeding to death. Now, if the water is not clear, if you're in the region where you know those species are, if there's blood in the water, if there are people fishing, you know, I don't go diving.
Good point. Common sense goes a long way, doesn't it?
I have all my fingers and feet, and I will go when the water gets clear, and that's how I learned to go swimming with great white sharks.
Wow.
In Africa, and I learned to swim with them.
Well,
they
there
don't
you go.
Care. They're not interested in us.
Or you're just not very tasty compared to most other people that we see on Shark Week. I don't know, but it's good information for sure. Jean-Michel, hold on just 1 second. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jean-Michel Cousteau on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I have Jean-Michel Cousteau from the Ocean Futures Society on Scuba Radio right now. OceanFutures.org, by the way, is the website you need to go to and sign up for your free membership, right, Jean-Michel?
Yep. Well, it's free. Not only it's free, but because we have a lot of children, we have thousands of kids who have signed up, we cannot give it away, exchange it, or sell it. It's illegal, which means you're email is completely protected.
There you go. No spam from the Ocean Futures Society, for sure. And great information, too. There's a lot of great articles on conservation issues, things you can do. Jean-Michel's favorite dive sites are even up there, I know. And I don't know, let's talk a little bit about that. Where are you off to next? What's next on the big Cousteau agenda?
Well, I just spent 2 weeks in a Sea of Cortez, and at the end of the month, I'm going to French Polynesia, and I'm going to explore several of the islands. I will be on a small cruise ship, which is called the Paul Gauguin, 300 passengers maximum. It's all equipped for diving.
Nice.
And I give lectures, and I go diving every day when we're in port somewhere, and some of the passengers want to go diving. We've had anywhere between 40 divers to 80 divers, and it's fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, I bet. And you do this like every year, don't you? Isn't this an annual event you're doing, or is it even more often than that?
I do 4 of them a year.
Well, there you go.
And we go to different places in the southern coast of the Pacific and to the French islands, the northern islands, and then we go to the Cook Islands and on and on and on. It's just a lot of fun.
That'd be the kind of cruise ship that I think any diver would like to go on. Am I right?
Yeah, the old stern open up, you know, it literally open up and you can go out on the boat and you go diving.
Well, there you go, with Jean-Michel Cousteau. It couldn't get much better than that. Well, Jean-Michel, thank you so much for being on Scuba Radio. Appreciate the update, and we wish you the best, my friend. friend.
Thank you for the time that you have given me, and divers need to realize they are the only ones who can talk about the ocean and tell the people, their neighbors, their family, decision makers, that we all need to protect the ocean to protect ourselves.
Well said.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 524. Underwater on your home loan?
You think this is funny?
They say that like being underwater is a bad thing.
Is this how you get your sick kicks?
Divers know better.
You see how wonderful life can be?
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Got a tip for us today, Nick?
Show.
Great. What are we going to talk about?
Shore, as in shore diving.
Oh, I see where we're going here. Good one. There's some great diving to be had just offshore in a lot of locations, but I'm thinking it's even better if you know how to do it safely.
My thoughts exactly.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, it'd probably help to talk about why divers like to go directly from shore. And I'm guessing you've done your share.
You are correct, sir.
What do you like about it?
Well, for one thing, it's less expensive. Once you've got your gear, all you need is gas money to get there.
And that's a big part of the appeal these days. What else?
Well, I like the independence of it. You don't have to worry about boat charters or schedules. You're free to explore whatever you'd like, whenever you'd like to do it. Not to mention the fact you usually have the site to yourself, which can be really nice.
You share the same sentiments as a lot of folks who enjoy shore diving. There are a lot of great aspects to it, but there are also some special safety considerations to take into account, too.
With independence comes responsibility.
Well, yes, but it's more. With independence, the responsibility is all yours. Unlike with commercial operations, you're likely to be diving without a dive professional with you.
Meaning?
Meaning, on a dive boat, the operation is likely supplying safety equipment like oxygen units and first aid kits. With independent shore diving, you don't have all of that. And if you plan to shore dive often, consider purchasing your own first aid kit and oxygen unit to have on hand in the event of an emergency.
And you should invest in some training so you know how to use it, right?
It does tend to do you more good if you know how to use it. It's also a good idea to have a cell phone or radio on site in case you need to call for help.
I know another safety factor I like to have on shore is someone who knows my dive plan. I like to leave it with someone I'm not diving with, so if I run into trouble, there's someone to report it and to tell rescue crews where to start looking.
That's really smart, and a step every shore diver should take. I'll bet you know a special piece of equipment every shore diver should have, too.
I'm guessing you mean a dive flag or a signal buoy?
Again, you guessed correctly. If you're diving offshore, you've got to take boat traffic into consideration. So always have a dive flag or signal buoy to show that you're in the water. And even with that, be extra careful when you're surfacing, because some of those boats can move awfully quickly and you're hard to spot in the water.
You speak the truth. I know boats and divers cohabitating in Florida waters presents a constant challenge.
And that's just because you've got so much great stuff for both people down there.
Again, you speak the truth.
It's how I roll.
Hey, yeah. Do you have any tips on the physical challenges of shore diving?
Mostly to just take the added physical challenge into account. Shore diving means wading through surf, and wading through surf isn't like wading into a lake or quarry. It can be physically challenging and demanding, because it'll require greater efforts to keep your balance, and it'll likely require you to expend more energy than usual just getting to the dive site. Make sure you and your buddy have a rendezvous plan in case the surf separates you, and be sure to account for the greater physical demand in your dive plan, and be careful not to start your dive exhausted.
Are there any other special considerations to take into account when shore diving?
A few. As with all diving, check the conditions before you head out. Keep a close eye on tides and currents. Dives can and should be called off when currents are too strong, so be sure to look for signs of them. Check the surf too, and aside from the obvious challenges we've already mentioned, they can indicate strong currents as well. If you're not familiar with the local tides and currents, find a knowledgeable source and learn about them before you even consider diving in the waters.
How about legal requirements?
Ooh, that's a good point. Wherever you do the shore diving, make sure you're familiar with the local laws and regulations. Are dive flags required? Are there any restrictions on where you can dive?
Nothing like ending a dive with an arrest.
Imagine the mugshot.
Your mask ring forever captured in posterity. Didn't we forget anything?
Just one more thing. Be sure to take your parking proximity into consideration as well. Before you worry about the physical toll the surf will take, know how far you'll have to carry your gear and how much energy you'll have to expend getting it to and from your entry point.
So if you plan a shore dive, make sure you have all your safety equipment and have it in place. Have a first aid kit, oxygen unit, and cell phone or radio on site in case of emergency. Even if it's not required in your area, have a signal flag with you, obey the local laws, and take physical demands into consideration, including gear trekking and surf wading.
Those are some of the basics. Of course, if you want to learn more, there's always training to be had through your specialty course.
Shore diving offers some wonderful opportunities and a greater sense of freedom than many other types of diving. Like any diving, though, shore diving requires thought, planning, attention to detail, and a little common sense. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and on the phone with me right now, I got Eric Douglas. He's doing a little vacation time out on the beach. Is that right, Eric?
Absolutely. You know, I've got my red stripe because I'm not in the islands, but I want to kind of focus on being in the islands and just staring at the big blue ocean and chilling out a little bit.
All right. So you're just chilling and looking for inspiration for your next book. Is that the deal, maybe?
That's exactly the deal. You know, I tell you what, whenever I get to the ocean, the story starts flying. When I'm working and at my computer, it doesn't always come, but I get back to the ocean and the stories start popping up.
No doubt.
I've got several things going already.
Well, you know, a lot of stories come into my mind as well, but most of them we can't share, or otherwise I'd be locked up. You hear what I'm saying? So
I do hear what you're saying. I think those belong in the graphic, maybe too graphic novel category.
Yes, it could be. Could be. But, you know, I was just talking to Jean-Michel Cousteau earlier in the show today, and he was talking about diving off of Cuba, and I had to ask him, because, you know, he's French. He's been diving there for years, so this is nothing new to him.
Right.
But to you and I, as U.S. citizens, now it's kind of being opened up to us a little bit. You thinking about using Cuba as a potential backdrop for one of your future novels, or do you know?
Well, if you remember in Wreck of the Huron, they went to Cuba, but they didn't go to Havana. They went to what was in the Island of the Pines is what it was, what it's called. It's basically a deserted island that's part of Cuba, but just south of Cuba.
Okay. So that's a real island.
So actually, technically,
yeah.
I've had one of my novels there, but
okay,
it wasn't in Havana proper.
Right. And I believe in the Scuba Radio story that you've just written you're getting ready to release, the ultimate goal or escape route is to Cuba, isn't it? Or where is he planning to go somewhere else? I forget.
No. He was heading to Bolivia. Just
Bolivia.
Like the guys
okay.
From,
all right. Yeah.
From Butch and Sundance.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
But yeah. That's an Sundance Kid, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, but no, they're heading to South America. They were heading to Bolivia.
All right. Well, some other place. So it might as well be as Cuba, as far as I'm concerned. But the island in the
pines. Well,
they're
not going to make it anyway. So.
Yeah, but the island of the pines. Getting back to that other story, that actually is an island that exists off the coast of Cuba. Is what you're telling me.
It is an island that exists off the coast of Cuba.
Yeah.
It actually was the setting for. You know, I've had too many red stripes. I can't think of anything right now.
Well, we'll give you a pass. Not a problem.
But it's not Robinson Crusoe, but it was Treasure Island. Yeah,
Treasure Island.
Setting for
okay.
Treasure Island.
I got
you. Under the communist regime, they call it Isla de Juventud, or Island of the Youth. But it's the same island as Treasure Island. So actually, when I was doing research for that book, I went back and reread Treasure Island to kind of get a feel for what the place would look like.
Very nice. And Eric does a lot of this stuff where he's kind of mixing up some reality and real geographic regions and dive areas and working them into some kind of story that he has quote-unquote made up in his mind.
You know, The storyline might be fictional, but I try to make the place as real as possible. So that's, you know, you, if you're someplace, you can think, well, I've been here. No, I haven't actually been here, but I read about it in one of Eric's books.
Well, that's what happened last week when I was talking to Pete from Scuba Board about him diving the cenotes of Cozumel. It made me think of Heart of the Maya, your Mike Scott novel, and that was one of the last ones I read in that series. I think it was out of sequence, because that's not the most recent, is it, or is it?
Oh, that was the last one before Return to Cayman.
Got it. That's right. Okay, so, and he starts talking about diving these cenotes and the stalagmites and stagmites and all that nonsense and stuff and how they look spooky, and I'm like, hey, he's like reading Eric's book. You know, when they went and found this stone in one of these cenotes, and it was a burial. It's all kind of crazy stuff. But you paint a really good picture with your novels, and you got to go to booksbyeric.com and check these out. And like we mentioned earlier, his latest one is a story, a short story that incorporates elements of Scuba Radio. And we're going to talk more about that next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy. And this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
How many times have you heard your diver friends say it's been a while since their last dive? Let your buddies know how easy they can get back in the water with the all-new PADI Reactivate program. Reactivate is designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water by refreshing fundamental skills and dive principles. Reactivated divers will receive a PADI replacement certification card, and you get your dive buddy back. Contact your local PADI dive center, resort, or instructor to refresh your scuba skills with PADI Reactivate today.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
All my pals who live in the oceans and the seas, with prawns like these, well, who needs anemones?
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm talking to Eric Douglas. You can go to booksbyeric.com. You know, we've known Eric for years, and he has been writing books. You know, he has this Mike Scott novel series, or I mean, I don't know. It's like a serial. I don't know.
Well, they're a series of thrillers. Yeah, okay, they're thriller novels, but they're a series of them, yes.
Yeah. Think of the Bourne Identity for divers or something. I don't know. It's crazy stuff. He's a journalist. He travels the world. He takes pictures and gets wrapped up into some kind of crazy conspiracy. But they're very entertaining because they always have a dive element, dive sites and places around the world that we're very familiar with, like the Cayman Islands, like Cozumel and stuff like that. And he's done really good with this. And then you have this Winthrop Key series, which is based on a fictional island in the Florida Keys. Kind of has a picturesque type of vibe to me, like Marathon. Am I right? Thereabouts?
I've driven through Marathon. I've not spent a lot of time there, but yeah, I think you're exactly right. Winthrop Key is in the middle of the Keys. It's on the way to Key West, or it's if somebody gets lost on their way to Key Largo and goes too far, they end up there. But it's an out of the way key, but it's right. A nice little key. Yeah. That's the fun thing about being a writer. I can just make stuff up when I need it. But Marathon would fit the bill pretty nicely.
Well, or one of those little keys right by Marathon, Big Pine Key, or one of those places down there. Yeah. And I say Marathon just because, when I read his Winthrop Key series, I think of this Tropical Dockside Cafe. Our buddy Eric Stone runs this little bar down there, and there's a common themed bar throughout all the short stories of Duffy's, who's in Winthrop Key. And I think of Dockside Tropical Cafe. So Eric's really good at painting a picture of realistic places that do exist, even though he's kind of making it up along the way. You know what I'm saying? So you've done very good at that with these series of short stories. And Jackson Pauley is the main character of that particular series. And there's a couple other regular characters that pop up in these short stories, which there's like, what, 10 of them now or thereabouts or what?
Actually, this one will be the one next month will be the ninth one.
Okay. I
combined all the earlier books into that. They're all short stories, but I combined the earlier eight into the collection that Tales from Winthrop Key.
Got it.
And then next month, We've got a new story coming out, don't
That's
we?
Right. The next phase of the Winthrop Key series. And it might be the first and last. Who knows? We'll have to see how it goes.
It may crash and burn. No, I think it's a fun story. And I think your listeners are going to really enjoy some of the characters that we threw into this one.
Well, I agree. And because I'm in it. No, that's not it. I'm having this conversation with Eric about his books. And I read as much as I can. And I got to tell you, I'm so pulled in so many different directions. I really don't have the opportunity to read a lot of books. I'm constantly sent stuff from publishers doing this goofy little radio show we do. You'd be amazed how many books come across our desks and are shipped to us every week, and I really don't have time to do a lot of that. I send it off to Bill, but every once in a while there's something that'll catch my attention. And I knew Eric from the dive industry back in the day, and he sent me his first book, his Mike Scott series, and I started reading. I'm like, wow, he's actually really good. These are good stories, and they have that diving element. He sucked me right in. I've read pretty much everything Eric's written. And this Winthrop Key series came out. I started reading that, and you were incorporating real elements, not only locations where you painted these pictures, like the Dockside Tropical Cafe, which kind of sounded like Duffy's to me in the book as far as what I had, pictured in my mind. You'd pull real names out of the dive industry and inject them into the story. It might be a short little, sidebar, like I think there was a mention of Fraser Nivens, one of our friends down in the Keys who does a lot of underwater videography for Discovery Channel and God knows
exactly,
what else.
Yeah.
And I know you've mentioned Joe Elliott or Jim Elliott from
From Dive Heart, right?
Yeah, and we're talking about this. And I said, that's kind of cool you do that, Eric. Is when are you going to work Scuba Radio in there? And I was like, I was kind of saying it as a half joke. And he goes, hey, why didn't I think of that? And I'm thinking,
I can't believe I haven't done that before.
That's right. And I was like, dude, do you need some inspiration for a story or some kind of subplot line? I got some stuff for you, my friend. And I was like, let's just throw some mermaids in there, the scuba cowboy. Oh, my God. And, the truth is stranger in fiction. But we stuck to the fiction side of this one. But it was still elements of the truth weaved in there with some of the characters from the show and stuff. And I love it. I love what you wrote. And I do believe people that listen to the show, even a little bit, are going to get a kick out of some of the stuff we've injected in from Scuba Radio into just a great little plot line that you've developed for With Row Key. I'm excited about this.
I'm pretty stoked, too. The title of the new story is Lionfish, but that's L-Y-I-N apostrophe. Lion, mm-hmm. Like he's a lionfish,
yep.
As compared to lionfish that are taking over our Caribbean reefs. But we'll have the cover up soon. So probably in the next week or so, we should be able to share that on your website and mine, and we'll have it out in a couple weeks.
Yes, we're going to get this out for everybody to pick up. Is either an ebook or we're going to get some hard copies made eventually too. So we'll have all the details for you here in the coming weeks. And I'm excited. I think it's really cool that you did this, Eric. And even if we weren't in it, I'm telling you, it's a great story. Lionfish, you're going to want to get your hands on this coming out very soon. And Eric, the only thing missing next week when we're down at Bugfest is you, my friend. But shortly thereafter, we'll work out some kind of book signing event or something, okay?
I'm looking forward to hanging out with you.
All right, and you can go to booksbyeric.com, get more information on that book and all the stuff that Eric has written over the years. And we got another hour of Scuba Radio on deck. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.